Knox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. The Periscope is fired up if you want to watch along. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cam. Cody.
Great, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How are you?
I'm all right. Not mad today. Last night's loss to Arkansas didn't make me angry. I quickly hitting to the point where it's just numb. So, or no, I guess I can't say quickly. I guess I can't say quickly. It took 27 games for me to get here, 28 games for me to get here. But I'm here now. That was, to me, last night was the last stand. So, it seems as if we can officially, and I know other people had already done it, but we can officially put this to bed.
It's important to remember the grand scheme of life. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Tennessee's 2020 basketball season, I hope I don't remember 5 years from now.
No. Six years
from now.
When you're
much less 15 or 20 years from now, when I'm on my deathbed, I hope that this team is far, far removed from my memory. That's where I'm at on it right now.
Did you say in 15 to 20 years – and then when you're on your deathbed?
Yeah.
Or did you mean after that 15 to 20 years? Were those supposed to be different time periods?
However you want to take it. However you want to take it.
I view you as a guy past 45.
Maybe.
I think it'd be, you know, those should be different time periods. Now, if you had said 30 years or so.
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean.
Sure.
Then it's just, you know, it's up for grabs, you know, whoever, yeah. You know, you never know then, but. You know, I mean, it's just a basketball season.
Yeah, that's going to hopefully, like I said, not really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun will come up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today.
Sun's already come up today.
Sun came out today. I went and I got my final measurements for my suit, so I'm happy about that.
Suit?
Yeah, I told you I'd bought that suit, but they had to keep getting measurements for me. So I got that to look forward to, I guess.
I can't wait to see you in a suit.
Well, I don't imagine you'll see me in it very often. I don't imagine I'd wear it around you very often, but maybe you'll see some pictures, I guess.
Why would you not wear it around me? You'd look good by comparison.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to wear a suit to come to a radio show.
Well, no, I didn't expect you to come in here like Al Golden. I just, occasionally, I imagine I'll see you in it.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. A
maybe.
Banquet or something.
October, whenever we go back to back to back. Yeah, whenever we get the third straight award there. Yeah, maybe I'll wear it that night. Maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to get it, you know, fitted to wear, you
I've
know, the
sleeves.
I've already
got it fitted. I got everything fixed.
Sleeves are perfect.
Well, no, they weren't perfect, but I got the last measurements. It came in today. I had to get the last measurements to see. The sleeves were a little long.
Worst feeling in the world.
Especially because I have sleeves. The one sleeve that's had the one arm. I told you that's an inch too long, so they
right.
had to go and make the adjustments. But
factor for the deformity.
Sure.
So
deformity seems kind of rude, but
well,
I guess it technically is a deformity.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you admitted to it.
Yeah, that is true.
No, I mean, I didn't mean it in a negative way.
No, that's
but
fun.
The worst feeling in the world is the sleeves that are too long. Am I right? I mean, that's got to be, you know, top 10 worst feeling in the world. A sleeve too long. And my mom, when I was a kid, my mom would say, "Oh, you just roll it up."
I don't
just
think
roll
a
it up.
Sleeve too long is one of the worst 10 feelings in the world.
I think it's up there.
The skin knee, the skin leg is way worse than the rolled down sleeve or the sleeve that's a little too long.
Stubbing your toe in the middle of the night.
Way worse. Heartbreak. way worse.
Well, if you don't just limit it to pain only, because there's nothing painful about the long sleeve.
I'm not limited just to pain only, but in terms of minor inconveniences, it probably isn't cracking my top 10 either.
Okay, so maybe remove all pain.
So the cashier, long lines at like a store, worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Traffic.
Yeah. Being in the gas station behind the lady buying lottery tickets.
Pouring a bowl of cereal but not having milk, having milk that's expired, and you're thinking, do I test it? And then you smell it, and you're like, no, I'm not doing it. That's probably worse than the long sleeve that's too long.
Walking in to do the radio show and seeing Rick.
Seeing Rick every day, worse than having sleeves too long, sure.
Yep. Pouring gasoline and getting a little bit of it on your hand. And then you smell the gasoline, and that smell is so bad.
Nah, I gotta be honest, I kind of like the smell of gasoline.
Well, I mean, okay, but in the car though, like I gotta be honest,
the feel of the gas on my skin is a little inconvenient, but no, I'm not. I'll probably go with sleeves being a little too long over that one.
Really?
Yeah, I like the smell of gasoline though. But again, if it's on your skin, it plays a little tricks on you. You feel like it burns a little bit or something. I don't know.
I like a little bit of the smell of the gasoline outside the car, but not once I get back in the car. Then it becomes overpowering. Do you ever huff gasoline as a kid or as a teen?
I've done it once or twice on the foiler. You open up the foiler, and I probably did it once or twice as a kid.
Get a little high?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not really.
Hmm.
Maybe I didn't do it right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sixth or seventh grade.
You're not an expert at getting high at that point.
No. My neighbor used to always try to do it, so then I did it once. I'm like, this is stupid.
I'll never forget being in like eighth grade and trying to smoke that just dirt weed in Post-it notes.
Okay.
Me and my friend thought we would be cute and roll a joint, and all we had was Post-it notes. That's how dumb you are when you're in eighth grade.
Okay.
Plus, we bought, it's like half grass, as in lawn grass.
Sure.
Because when you're that age, you don't know.
No.
I mean, it's just... You're just trying to get a little high.
Mm-hmm.
So, although with the Post-it note, it did wrap up nice. I mean, it stuck, and that's when you're rolling a joint. That's the.
I didn't really listen to most of what you just said.
That's kind of what you're looking for.
You lost me when you started asking me about the huffing gasoline. I knew this was about to keep going a certain way, and I was just like, I let Cody go on his little tangent, but.
Well, let's steer it back around.
Yeah.
Get back on the interstate. Here we are coming back on the ramp.
Watching Tennessee basketball is like. Sniffing glue, eating paint chips. Do you get high from eating paint chips, or do you just like get sick? Because I know it's like toxic. Is there any benefit to eating paint chips? I guess that's just a thing kids did maybe in their old rooms.
I think that was more of like, wasn't that more of a problem with toddlers?
Right. There was some toxins in the wall. So I guess that wasn't really getting you high, it was just getting you sick.
Yeah,
killing you.
I think so.
That's how watching Tennessee basketball feels right now for me, just eating paint chips.
Yeah.
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 Slowly getting sick, slowly killing myself. But again, I'm trying to keep a big picture perspective. This doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of life. She is fleeting. Although it does embarrass me that I've spent so many hours watching this team play this year because there hasn't been a lot of return on investment. Last night was a really just horrid performance for all but about 4 minutes. And it's funny, really funny, that it came after a timeout. Rick Barnes caught a timeout really quickly in the second half. Tennessee's basketball team responded by going on an 11-0 run, cutting a 15-point deficit to a 2-point deficit. And the next thing you knew, Arkansas stretched it back out. And Tennessee was never really close again. But for that 3 or 4 minute stretch, Tennessee had finally realized, hey, Arkansas has the 340th ranked rim defense. Maybe we should work the ball inside. You saw Pons, you saw Fulkerson start getting going a little bit. And you're like, okay, here goes Tennessee. This Arkansas team is not better than Tennessee if Tennessee plays the right way. But then Mason Jones just kept hitting step back jumper after step back jumper.
Yeah, God, that guy had 35 points.
Feel like he was getting away with some traveling, but I'm not going to be complaining about traveling guy. Felt like he was getting away with some NBA step backs there. I didn't think college basketball gave you the gather. The NBA has it in the rules that they give you the gather. College basketball claims they don't, but Mason Jones was getting it last night, and he was draining them, and he was hitting tough shots, and he was, you know, trying to score. He was trying to pad some stats at the end of the game. I think he was trying to get to 40. Ultimately fell short, but he had 37, and Isaiah Joe had 22, and those guys alone were basically enough to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, they hit shots, you know.
But it's like we all deserve for not sending Cody down to Arkansas and putting him courtside.
I think it would be over to Arkansas.
Either way. Gotta go south too a little bit, don't you? Or no? Just straight over, it's just straight west.
In fact, I think Fayetteville may be north of here.
Okay, well, up and to the left. Or right, depending on which way you're driving.
That's always been a pet peeve of mine.
The over,
when people say, yeah, we're going to go down to Kentucky and see some friends.
Yeah.
You're not going down to Kentucky. You got to go up to Kentucky.
Yeah, it's just really funny coming from you who always cries when I nitpick you. But either way, whatever.
Well, if you didn't nitpick me, then I wouldn't have to bring it up. So.
Well, we'll just sit here. We'll just sit here and we'll keep nitpicking each other.
It wasn't really nitpicking you. I was just.
I usually am that way too. I mean, I'm not a geography guy, so if you'd asked me, I probably would have said Arkansas was southern, south a little bit.
Like, it didn't bother me that you said it.
You sure Arkansas is not south of Knoxville?
Absolutely not. Fayetteville, I would bet anything, is north of here on the latitude, longitude, whatever that is.
Longitude goes side to side.
You would think long ways would be, you know.
Well, how do you stretch your rope? Some people lay them side to side.
Yeah, good point.
Easy trick to remember that is the Jimmy Buffett song. Changes in latitude,
changes in longitude.
Further south you go, the warmer it gets. You're happier. You're on the beach. You go north, you're probably upset because it's cold.
I was more of a cheeseburger in paradise kind of guy.
I don't like Jimmy Buffett, but that has always helped. The changes in latitude, changes in attitude thing.
Big kosher pickle and a cold draft beer. Good God almighty, which way do I steer?
You might as well be speaking German to me right now.
You never heard Cheeseburger in Paradise?
I know the chorus. When I say I know the chorus, I just know Cheeseburgers in Paradise. That's all I know.
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
I have no clue what the second part of that chorus is.
So lettuce, pickle, onion slice. I can't remember how it goes, but it's something like that. It's a really, really, really stupid song.
Okay.
Like I said, He Went to Paris is pretty good. You ever hear that one?
He Went to Paris?
He Went to Paris.
I think I have heard that one, actually.
A lady married his young son named Jim or something. I can't remember.
It's very close in this Knoxville to Arkansas, by the way. It's very close.
Is it?
Very, very, very. Fayetteville. Very, very, very close.
But it is further north.
It might be a hair just further a north, maybe.
It is. I looked up the latitude. And
what's the breakdown there? It's very, very close, though.
Yeah,
right?
Arkansas was like 36 point something, and Tennessee was 35 point something.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I was right.
Good degree.
Oh, yeah. So a texter just wrote in 35.96 for Knoxville. Fayetteville is 36.08. So very, very close.
I knew it.
Yeah. Point you acted like I wasn't even close.
Point
but
is, I was correct.
It was pretty.
Closer, it's closer than I would have thought.
But it wouldn't have been close to being south, so I would not have been going down. It would have still been going strictly just over. But either way, so I guess, I mean, you take 40 the whole way. I should have, don't you or no?
Well, yeah, I guess all the way to Russellville, and then you got to hop on, I forget what that's called, something
oh,
north.
Yeah, but I forgot 40 goes down to Memphis and then kind of back
40
up.
40 goes over to Fort Smith, Oklahoma City. So somewhere in there, you'd take another interstate north at, maybe it's at Alma. I think Alma is where you get on that other interstate.
Well, hopefully part of the team just stays in Fayetteville, does some soul searching.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would rather they just stay in Fayetteville and do some soul searching.
Well, you still got to get one more win, right, for the board bet.
Yeah. I don't care about the board bet, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to concede
it. A board bet's a board bet.
I mean, I'm not worried about the early season board bets. You were up pretty early last year, and then you ended up losing by like 14, so like, or 10. So like, I'm not really worried about March board bets. Oh, I'll make my hay in football season.
Sure, sure. You want to go double or nothing on it?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I don't.
All you need is one win.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Surely we'll beat Florida, right?
It's not if you like throw that. In the SEC tournament, I'll take it.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, and then no.
All right.
Again.
Win's a win. I was just trying to give you
haven't won it yet.
I was trying to open a door for you and give you a little hope.
You haven't won yet.
I've... Basically, Maybe we'll beat Florida, but I doubt
it. I mean, either way, like whatever. I don't care about the one board bet win or one board bet loss. It's a long season. And
you don't have to yell.
Well, I didn't mean to yell. If I was yelling, I'm not upset. I'm not mad at all. Just disappointed. I'm not even that disappointed, to be honest, because I should be used to it. We'll continue talking Tennessee basketball coming up next. That was such a stupid performance as Arkansas beats Tennessee 86-69. And let me tell you, it was not nice. We'll be back on the other side.
It's the best time of year in the sport.
Either of you listened to Voluntary Reaction at all last night? Presented by Miller Lite. Shout out to Miller Lite. Any of you guys hear any of that last night?
Yeah.
What was the response there? I didn't listen to any of it.
I didn't listen to any of it except for one part when Trey came on with Russ. And
oh.
That was pretty funny, but.
Something happened?
No need to rehash it. I'll tell you during the break.
Oh. Did it get tested?
Of course, now the audience is.
Was it bad? Was it awkward between them? Okay, something happened?
Okay. Trey may or may not have dropped an F-bomb.
On the radio?
Yeah. But it's like midnight, you know.
How late did they go?
It was like
Russell texted 11, me like at 11. The game 11, was over. 30, I guess the game started at 8:30. Okay. So, yeah, I guess it was. That's fine.
Yeah. I think.
It's funny. It's Trey, Mr. Professional.
Well, I think, I mean, he didn't know he was on. He tried to blame it on Hayden.
Oh.
Because Hayden didn't tell him it was not app only, I guess. But, you know. But I'm pretty sure, though.
I'll give Hayden partly blame. I'll give Trey partly blame. And I'll give Russell partly blame.
Yeah.
For not reminding the callers. Maybe Russell was reminding callers and didn't have to think he had to remind Trey.
Apparently he did.
Yeah.
But I think that, I don't know, once you get like past 10 o'clock anyway. Like,
yeah.
I think we usually play it pretty safe.
Yeah.
To an extent, I guess. But
One time we didn't, and we got reprimanded by Nate. Because we tried to go with the 10, 11 o'clock rule, and it didn't. Nate got very mad at us. That's the only time Nate's been mad at me and Russell, but he was mad at us one football season. Yeah.
I don't know if
we were going with that rule one night for like a late football game. And we were like, hey, let's just go radio it. No FCC worries here. And then some callers, and maybe even us, were making some crude comments, and Nate was not happy there. So.
Well, do you think it's because you can't do it, or Nate just preferred that you didn't?
Maybe a little bit both, and like it could draw attention, and you might get some complaints, and maybe they end up ruling in your favor. Because like cable, you can do it.
Yeah,
but like I don't know if you ever watched Comedy Central after 11 o'clock. Like
they sometimes
just roll like unedited movies after 11 o'clock. Same as like FX. Like FX will have their go to TV shows, the ones that start 10 or 10:30. Like they'll have a couple F bombs in there and.
I would
think. AMC did it, you know, once or twice with Breaking Bad after 10 o'clock. So, like, I mean, it gets a little lax for sure. But I would rather us not spend more time talking about Trey potentially getting us in trouble.
Right. I just didn't want to just.
I was really just asking what the vibe was of the fan base. Because I'd imagine it was pretty everyone uniformly either fed up or checked out. Like, if you still care about this team, you're mad. If you don't care about this team, you weren't really paying attention anyways. Is that fair to say? Like. If you're watching the game, you're probably one of two people, someone who is a diehard or some people who just kind of sort of care just simply because it's a Tennessee athletic event, but a loss doesn't really affect you.
That's the camp I was in.
Yeah, that's the camp you're in. I was in the camp of really mad, or at least upset, disgusted. Again, I don't know what adjective I would use to describe how I felt last night. It did feel like, you know, the end of the season. As you've been trying to look and say, okay, we need to go 3-2. Okay, we lost that one. 3-1, and now you're faced with going 3-0, and you know you're. I don't think you're going to win at Lexington. So you know the 3-0 hope is dead, even if you can win both of your home games.
Well, at least like we got to this point of the games mattering.
Yeah, I mean that's
you know
that's fine, but I mean like it would have been really hard to get here without the games mattering.
I mean, if we hadn't choked away Auburn and South Carolina, like honestly, you'd be sitting here now instead of 15-13 at 17-11. and you'd feel so much better. Like, we let some games go this year.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that's without a doubt, yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, just, you know, it would have been really tough to get to this mark without these games at least mattering, or at least having the hope of again, you even had to go 3-1, so it wasn't like you had a very good chance of doing that, but it mattered. So Tennessee delayed the inevitable by beating Alabama, basically. I mean, that's pretty much the only game they've won in this recent stretch that caught your attention, right?
I thought the beatdown of Arkansas was nice, but they didn't have Joe though. So
yeah, but I guess maybe the way you beat them down was nice. That gave you some hope. Okay, that's fair. But I mean, the Kentucky loss maybe gave you a little hope. The blowing the game out South Carolina was really frustrating. Beating Vanderbilt didn't do anything.
That felt like a loss.
Right, and then blowing the Auburn game, and then you kind of saw that team. This is what I was worried about going into the Alabama game, was getting to the Arkansas game, blowing another big lead, blowing a chance to win, kind of like you did at Mississippi State when you were up at halftime, and you came out really, really flat, and Tennessee came out and was down 14-1 before they really even decided to start playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. And that's a coaching issue.
Just not having them ready to play?
I mean, if you can't have your team ready to go out at halftime, I mean, I'd say that's kind of an issue.
No, I think that's pretty accurate.
But, you know, I mean, that happens to a lot of teams.
I don't know if it happens to a lot of teams that are supposed to have top-level coaches. I mean, say what you will about Roy Williams in North Carolina. We've been talking about them. You know, there's been some comparisons made. But North Carolina hasn't came out flat. Yeah, right.
No, they've continued to play hard. And the big thing I noticed about them the other night, their fan support is incredible.
Right, yeah. I mean, the fans are still there. Their fans are still caring. And like I said, North Carolina, they have been losing a lot of games. And if any school wanted to check out and give up, it could have been them. And for the most part, if you look through their schedule, they've laid a couple eggs. You know, they got beat by Wake Forest, at Wake Forest by 17. That was maybe a no-show. At Louisville, they lost by 17. I don't even know if that was a no-show or not. I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of it. But Louisville at least is a top 11 team. But they bounced back. They beat North Carolina State. They have every reason to give up. They were 10-17 heading into that game. So at least they seem to still be trying and still be playing hard. And last night, the first half, Cody, I can't say the same thing for Tennessee. I mean, is that a fair takeaway? Cam, did you watch any of the game? Did you even find yourself in front of the TV?
I did watch it, yeah.
Is that fair to say that the team looked like they didn't really care in the first half?
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I don't know what was going on. It was really sloppy, and, yeah, they just came out so slow. And, yeah, it was, like, pretty lackluster and almost, like, lazy, it looked like, almost.
They came out and tried hard in the second half at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, the first possession was bad, and then, like I said, Rick Barnes called a timeout, and it's pretty funny that Tennessee then went on an 11-0 run. And it looked like, okay, this team's going to go down fighting. And then maybe the effort didn't drop off. Maybe it was just like, hey, you can't stop Mason Jones, so it's one of those things where if you can't stop the guy from draining threes on you, there's not much you can do. But it felt like that first half, Tennessee, it took them 5 or 6 minutes to decide whether or not they wanted to play hard.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, yeah, I don't know. I was kind of confused with the game plan, too, like you were saying earlier about them not dumping it in low and things like that. And
I know it's easy to just scream, like, hey, get the ball to the rim. I realize that that's easier said than done whenever you don't have really any ball handlers that can break down a defense, right? Yeah. Like, hey, get to the rim. Okay, well, that's good in hindsight, but if you don't have someone who can break down the defense, that becomes tough. Tennessee tried to dump it down to the post. In the first half, I thought Fulkerson played really bad. I thought he was playing pretty poorly in the first half. To his credit, he came out and played good in the second half. Mm-hmm. But the first half, I thought he was struggling. I believe he only had 5 points at halftime. Vescovi looked lost. Yeah. I don't know if he has hit a wall, as the president of his fan club, Billy Williford, tweeted me back last night of just, hey, freshman hit walls. I don't know if the scouting report is like, hey, this guy can't go right, so don't let him go left type of thing, because it seemed like Arkansas was hell-bent on not letting him go left, and it seemed like that really affected his driving ability. But the shots were bad. He got clamped up. The defense was bad. You know, he wasn't playing defense. And it was, a poor performance from him. A poor performance from Pines in the first half, at least, I feel like. And your five-star, Josiah Jordan-James, another really, really, really bad game from him. And if there was any type of illegal five-star recruitment paying, as we think happens in all of college athletics, Tennessee needs a refund. That's where I have settled in on that. Josiah Jordan-James has played, 68 minutes of basketball the last three games.
Does that give you a bit of pause and expecting a lot from these other guys coming in?
Hold on. I have a point. Or I had a stat I had to give you.
My bad.
I set it up with saying Josiah Jordan-James had played 68 minutes. Do you know how many points he scored in those 68 minutes?
68.
You think he scored 68 points in 68 minutes? Josiah Jordan-James himself?
No, that seems like 2 minutes.
That seems high.
68 minutes.
He has played 68 minutes of basketball the last three games.
Seven?
Cam, you want to take a guess?
I'm going 3.
4. And then those all came against Auburn. So he had two games where he completely went scoreless, including last night. And last night they left him in garbage time, trying to let him get in a rhythm. He was trying to score in garbage time and was still throwing up brick after brick after brick. And you ask Cody, does that give me any type of pause for these upcoming five stars?
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, it does. Because Tennessee has had 2 5 stars in recent memory, and neither one of those guys can play at a five-star level.
Robert Hubbs and this guy.
Yeah, Robert Hubbs and this guy do not play at five-star levels.
Well, I guess I meant more so of Barnes recruiting, like, because he didn't recruit Hubbs, right? I mean,
he did not recruit Hubbs.
So I just mean his evaluation of.
And I want to say, to be fair, I do feel like Hubbs got a little bit better in the year he had with Barnes. Yeah, 1 year or 2 years of Barnes.
I hardly remember.
Yeah.
We were so bad at that time.
I can't remember if he had 1 year or 2 years of Barnes. But I feel like Hubbs even developed into a decent rotation player. But still, it does temper my expectations. And at this point, we have to have an intervention. Somebody has to sit down Josiah Jordan-James and say, look, I understand the season hasn't gone the way you wanted it to. It hasn't gone the way we wanted it to either. No one's happy so far with this situation, but look, we're not giving up on you, okay? We're not giving up on you, but for the love of God, can we get you out of the jersey number 5? Because you don't deserve to wear the number 5. That's reserved for Admiral and Chris Lofton. Can we get him out of the number 5?
And Jarnell Stokes.
Okay. Was Jarnell number 5?
Pretty sure. You want to put it on the board?
No. I just didn't. I don't think of him as one of the great people to wear number 5.
He did
wear number 5. You are correct.
He's no Admiral or Lofton.
No, but Stokes is better than Josiah Jordan-James.
Stokes was pretty awesome when he came in. Like, you remember when he first made his debut?
Stokes helped lead you to a Sweet 16. So, like, we don't put that respect on his name, but maybe we should. You know, I just think of Admiral and Lofton as two of the better players in Tennessee history. But, hell, I guess at this point maybe we should consider Stokes that too. So that's a fair point out by you. Let's add Jarnell Stokes to the legion of number 5s who need to have an intervention with Josiah and say, hey, buddy, we got to get you out of this jersey number because you don't deserve it.
We should make that like LSU does with the number 18.
That was my idea last year when people were arguing about whether or not to retire it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seems like I remember you saying something about that.
Because people are arguing about retiring Lofton's jersey, and then you're like, well, what about Admirals? And like, well, how about you just do a special thing with it where the leader of your team and the heart and soul of your program gets to wear it, and I don't think, if they want.
Yeah.
But no one else. Like, we can't have a freshman come in and be, you know, at this point, let's call it what it is, Josiah Jordan-James is not even one of your 5 best players. And I don't want to pile on the kid, but he's not one of your 5 best players. Tennessee looked better when Devontae Gaines was in his part.
Really?
In his spot.
Really?
Gaines can score better, and Gaines can't even really score.
That's a take.
I mean, Gaines can't even really score, but Gaines can score better than Josiah Jordan-James. And he plays better defense, and he knows what he's doing on defense.
Man.
Am I wrong? Like,
I don't know. I hate watching when Gaines is in the game.
You hate watching when Gaines is in the game? I love watching when Gaines is in the game because at least it looks like he cares.
Yeah. From a talent standpoint, though, I mean, I don't.
Gaines had 7 points last night.
Yeah, maybe
he was three or four from the field. Like, and those weren't in garbage time. I mean, Gaines can at least get to the free throw line. Like he has the last couple games, he at least can find the weak side rebounds and crash the boards and grab a couple of those. Like, he plays smart basketball, if you ask me. Like, is he a great scorer? No, obviously not. But again, if you just look at the last three games, how many minutes did I say Triple J had played the last three games? 68, is that what I said?
68.
Yeah. All right, let's go with Gaines has played 54 minutes the last three games. You want to take a guess at how many points he has? It's not a lot.
11.
14.
15. So he's got three times more than Josiah Jordan James.
Come on down, Cam.
He's got three times more. While also not turning the basketball over. Only two turnovers in those minutes. While grabbing 13 rebounds in those minutes. Three steals and playing pretty good defense. So, you know, if Barnes is trying some Hail Mary, some Hail Mary thing here to try to get this team back on track, I think I would start with changing my starting lineup there. And I put Gaines in the starting lineup. That's just personally what I do. And we're almost at the point, guys. And again, I don't think Josiah Jordan James is healthy right now. Or at least I hope not. I hope we find out that was it a hamstring issue he had?
I don't know.
Something on the leg, like groin or hamstring. One of the two.
Groin, I believe.
One of the two.
I want to say it was groin.
Okay, one of the two. So maybe he's got some lingering effects from that. Maybe he shouldn't even have came back and played. I don't know.
It was a groin injury.
Okay.
Yeah. He missed four games.
Well, what four games did he miss, Cody? Do you know what four games he missed?
February 14th, he returned to practice after missing the last four games with a groin injury. So whatever the four were before February 14th, let me check the schedule.
The four before February 14th were Arkansas?
Mm-hmm.
What do we do against Arkansas?
Well, we beat them down.
Kentucky?
We lost, but we had a decent showing for a while.
Alabama?
Good win.
And Mississippi State?
Awful game.
Awful game. So, but the three of those games, you played some of your best basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's true.
I mean, is that not accurate that you played three of your best games in that stretch right there?
That is an accurate statement, yes.
Correlation, causation, all that stuff, they don't always equal up. But and Gaines only played 5 minutes against Kentucky and did play 15 against Alabama. 26 against Arkansas. So I don't know if he's even playing into that equation there. I remember, you know, Jalen Johnson was getting more run there, but it does seem like once you've put Triple J back in the lineup, things have slowed down a little bit.
I guess it does correlate. I mean, I don't know if it correlates, but it definitely
it correlates.
It coincides.
It correlates, but that doesn't mean that's the reason why, mm-hmm. Right? Correlation does not equal causation. That's how the saying goes.
What is correlation by definition?
It just shows that there's a relationship there.
Is correlation a synonym to coincides?
Sort of.
I guess it would be.
But coincides, it could be the opposite. Like there could be a negative correlation.
Correlation is two coincide things makes together.
Coincide makes me think that they positively go together.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Because, yeah, like you said, negative correlations, like when two things have a relationship, but they just...
Yeah, it could be the
opposite stuff, yeah.
Mm.
More Josiah Jordan James minutes, worse production. That would be a negative correlation.
Makes sense to me.
So it doesn't necessarily, like I said, it doesn't equal causation. You know, the more popsicles that are sold, the higher the death toll.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
Like, there's more deaths in the year's Nicolas Cage movies release, I think is a really weird one.
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the one about LeBron James and Alabama football.
I don't know if that would be considered a correlation. I think that would just be...
Coincidation.
I don't know if that would be considered a correlation, but...
They coincided.
Because, like, something kind of has to go up. It kind of has to be, like, a thing that's happening, not just, like, an event type of thing.
Yeah. Well, there goes my example.
So, like, I mean, just higher ice, you know, higher popsicle sales. It's hotter outside. There's more murders in the summer. Are the two related?
Probably.
Maybe not the popsicles part of it, but the temperature would be, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're
that'd be the causation is just more people outside. Yeah. And maybe people are more angry when it's hot.
Absolutely. Like,
those things might happen, but
absolutely.
You're just around people more often when it's hot. So as the temperature goes up, the murders go up.
Yeah, I think it's more so people are more frustrated, though, when it's hot. You don't see a lot of murder in the wintertime, typically.
Yeah.
Although, if you're going to murder somebody, I mean, wintertime might be the time to do it.
Icicle to the neck, as Cam always points out. Icicle to the neck.
Murder weapon.
Take the body and feed it to the hogs. You're good to go.
Until they find the teeth.
Well, you dissolve those in acid.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Where do you get acid?
There's you could get it. I won't do it on the air, but I can tell you where to get it.
Okay. Dissolve the teeth in acid. Could you not just dissolve the whole body in acid?
Like pigs eat teeth.
You could. It just takes a lot longer.
Don't pigs eat teeth? Pigs. You're saying pigs
don't
eat teeth?
You think they'll even eat the teeth?
Pigs eat everything.
I know they eat everything, but the teeth, are we sure about that?
I don't know. I was always under the impression that pigs would clean up everything.
I think when we say everything, we think like basically everything.
Okay.
But maybe not the teeth.
Let me Google, do pigs eat teeth?
Teeth are the most important thing you got to get rid of.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because the dental records and
come
stuff.
On.
Yeah.
Everyone
I had a dentist in my family. Not really in my family, but he was my stepbrother's stepdad on the other side. He was a family friend. And he had to go to Hawaii one time to help with I remember my stepbrother got to go on a vacation to Hawaii when we were kids because he had to go help him with something like there was a murder in Hawaii.
Seems that the consensus, Cam, is that you have to shave the head and pull the teeth.
Yeah, pigs, you want to get rid of the hair, too.
Pigs don't digest teeth or hair. So.
Well, what do you do with all that hair?
You could burn that.
Yeah, hair.
You got to be careful, though, because, I mean, it's easy to leave some stray hairs behind.
Yeah.
You ever go get your hair cut, like, in a barbershop, you know, all that hair on the floor, like.
Yeah, but then they seem to get it up pretty good with the broom.
Yeah, but I feel like there's still stray hairs down there.
It's just don't put it in anything that you own, like, unless it's in a bag or something. You know, don't just drag a body in your car or into your house, because then, yeah, you're
sure,
stuff. Just
sure.
Common sense stuff, you know?
The floor of a hair salon or a barbershop may be the grossest place there is. You think of all the dry skin just flaking off guys' heads?
I disagree. I think they take good care of it.
I
bet they clean it pretty often.
I'm sure
sweep it pretty often. There's way grosser places than that. Come on.
I'm sure they do take care of it, but at its worst, I mean, I think that's
there's
a pretty gross place.
There's grosser things than hair.
Well, the thing is, though, you forget about, we're not just talking about hair. Think of all the dandruff guys that go in there, and they're shaving your head, and all that skin's coming off, too.
Skin's not that bad.
It's pretty gross. They say that's what dust is,
yeah,
for the most part,
yeah,
like 70% of, which
right,
is crazy to think
you
about.
You take a nap on your couch, where you think that dust is going?
Ugh, that's another place. There's no telling how gross a couch is. Because how do you clean a couch? Occasionally, you might vacuum it. You might pull up the cushions and vacuum underneath, but
sure,
but nobody ever cleans the couch.
Sure.
Really? Like, I don't know. I guess maybe you have professionals come over if you have that kind of money, but most people don't. There's a
have
lot
an intervention.
Of places.
Stokes, Lofton, Admiral, they sit down Triple J and they say, give up the number five. A good friend, Will Warren, pointed that out to me, and it's made me mad ever since, and I think it has to happen. He can do himself a lot of favors, take some expectations off, maybe even drop the Jordan. Just be Josiah James. When you're a basketball player and you have Jordan in your name, I feel like it makes things tougher.
He should start just going by Josiah.
Yeah, just go back to Josiah. But yes, Cody, that does lower my expectations for next year. We'll see how this next season goes. You know, it's going to I'm going to be pretty bridled. My expectations are going to be bridled there.
Yeah. I think another really great gross thing is your cards. Like your credit cards or your debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about when you go through the fast food line and you give it to the worker and those workers have probably been doing other things. Like, yeah. I'm assuming their hands are dirty. Like, maybe they just put some fries down or something. Like, sure. They probably got grease on their hands. Think about how many people you have handed your debit card to. That's got to be another thing that's just full of disgust.
Cash, probably still dirtier, though.
Because it probably soaks in more than your card.
And it's just been around longer. It's been passed around more. Other people handle it. I would say cash dirtier than your debit cards.
Okay. You may be right there. You know something that really bothers me is if you get a canned beverage, like at a gas station, I've started holding my can up to let them scan it. Tell me if this sounds crazy. I am tired of sitting my can. Like, I get a can of Red Bull. So yeah. I'm tired of sitting my can up on the counter, and the clerk grasps the top of my can with their hand and pulls it in. You know what I'm talking about? You sit a can down, they grab the top of your can, and they pull it in to scan it.
Okay, what's the problem with this?
I've started being absolutely disgusted by that. I used to just not think anything of it, and now every time I sit a can down and I watch them, every time they grasp the top of the can with their hand.
Where your mouth's going.
With their greasy paw, exactly. Because your mouth goes on the side of that can. I've started holding my can up to the scanner like a lunatic.
Okay. Sounds like you got some stages of OCD coming on.
Well, but do you think about that ever?
Hypochondriac a little? No. I don't think anyone's hands, germs are going to make me that sick.
I just
the germs build your immune system.
Yeah.
We'll survive the corona. You won't because you've been handing
it's
your
not,
hands.
It's
such a weird juxtaposition. Yesterday he was all about the coronavirus and all this and blah, blah, blah. But now he's worried about germs on somebody.
No. It's not the germs that bother me. I know I've got a good immune system. I'm not worried about the germs. It's the hand, what could be on the hand. You know, like their hands might be sweating. The thought of licking someone else's sweat off
people
the top
are eating
of my
lunch
can.
Right now. It's 12:45. People
well, that's
are
my
lunch.
Point. That's my point.
Well, we'll think about it for a second. We'll come back. We need to take a timeout. We're overdue one. We didn't take one at the 30, so. Cam, hit us with a quick timeout. We'll come back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tweeter writes in, he wants you to have this project, Cam, so it's not going to be that fun. He just wants you to look up, which I guess maybe he's too busy to Google it himself, or maybe wanted to be a show topic, I don't know. But he asks, project for Cam, has a $5 million coach ever missed the NIT? Which, I mean, I guess Roy Williams isn't even a $5 million coach. So I would imagine Rick Barnes might be the first, right? There's not many $5 million coaches.
Well, salaries have gone up.
There haven't been many $5 million coaches throughout history.
Right, so it's not like you can – I don't think you have to go back very far. Yeah.
Calipari missed the tournament.
I'm on it.
Calipari missed the tournament like in, what, 13 or 14? But they made the NIT and then got beaten in round one.
Was he making $5 million at that
time? He might have been making $5 million at that time, but they at least made the NIT.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is a chance that Tennessee could miss the NIT altogether.
Just don't even get in the not in tournament.
I mean, if they lose the next four games, they're not in the NIT. Which I don't think anyone would actually care about, but it is an interesting, assignment for you, Cam. See if you can find that out, because maybe we're in uncharted territory here.
Do we have any interest in the NIT?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
not. Zero interest.
You won't even watch the game?
I won't watch the games, no.
Okay.
We will not be covering it. Zero interest. There will be no voluntary action as far as I'm concerned, and no, we will not even mention it.
What if we won the NIT championship?
Would not care at all. I would not. It would mean absolutely nothing to me.
Zero.
Nothing. Not one thing.
Would a regular season win over UNC Asheville mean more?
Yes.
Really? It would mean that little.
UNC Asheville means like a 3 out of 100. The NIT would mean a 0 out of 100.
Okay.
To me.
I mean,
I cannot care less.
Okay. That's probably where I'm at too.
I thought maybe if I know anything about the NIT, Tennessee will not be winning the NIT. Tennessee students will be ready to go on spring break.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what a former player once told me that made the NIT, that they were in the car headed to the beach after they lost to MTSU in the NIT. Like, they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to play. and they cared so little about the loss, they got into the car immediately and drove to the beach.
How could you blame them?
No, I didn't. I was like, yeah, it makes sense. I wish you had told me that, so I would have been on MTSU at the time. Like, yeah. Those small schools care about it. I will always fade the big schools. I'll take my chances there. The small schools want to be there. It means something to schools like MTSU, especially MTSU at the time. This was before MTSU had their, you know, their tournament upset. But no, ever since he told me that, I already cared very little about the NIT. Actually, ironically, in high school, I would always put together an NIT bracket pool. I would try to position myself as an NIT expert. Said it was the real tournament.
It just didn't get the credit it deserved.
It just didn't get the credit it deserved. That's where the springboard for next year actually is. But no, I care zero. So if Tennessee makes the NIT, good for them. If they want to be there, if they win it, great for them. I will not care. I will not watch 1 second
of it. You will not watch any game, and we will not talk about it at all.
Unless you bring it up. And then I will tell you I didn't see it, and that I didn't care, unless I see on Twitter that someone got hurt. Or that, like, there was a streaker on the court.
So, at best, an NIT championship could only make headlines.
It's up to you, bro. Story of the day?
It would
you
not.
Your jurisdiction is also story of the day. Sometimes I let you, you know, quite frequently, I let you start the show off with what you want to talk about.
I don't like doing that. I never have. NIT title doesn't even get a segment, though.
Not unless you are leading it. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just asking.
I mean, you sound like a little surprised by it. Like,
no, I'm just
you
clarifying.
You barely cared about the regular season. You're going to tell me you're going to hop on the...
absolutely not.
You're going to hop on the NIT bandwagon? You're going to want to go to New York City and...
Well, it is in the garden. No, absolutely not. Would not care
Cam,
at all.
Cam, NIT do anything for you?
Nope.
Okay. Wanted to check.
I might go to New York City, though. You know, I got to looking the other day. Do you realize all the new buildings that are going up in New York City?
No. Like why would I realize what's happening?
Well, because I Google things. I just get, you know, bored and think things or whatever. And, like, I was just looking at America's tallest buildings because we've always known, you know, the Sears Tower in Chicago, which I realize is now called something else. The, you know, the World Trade Centers before they went down, and then they built the new one. The One World Trade Center, and now it's the tallest building in America. And, you know, like the Empire State Building, we realize all those, right?
Sure.
I did not realize, though, the New York City skyline currently is going under just massive reconstruction. There's like four or five buildings set to open this year alone that are going to be like in the top five, top 10 of tallest buildings in the U.S. Did you realize that?
No, and I don't care about that either.
Like the Central Park Tower. They're building a Central Park Tower.
I don't care about that either.
You don't care about big buildings?
Not really. Never have.
Have you ever been up into one?
I went up the Empire State Building.
You did?
Right? That's when you go up on the
86th floor,
I
believe.
Yeah, I didn't go to – you can pay like a little bit extra to go up like another 13 floors or so. I didn't do that.
I
went to like the 86th, the observatory.
Yeah, they got the concrete wall and
I did that. It was fun.
That's cool, isn't it?
It was fun.
It's fine. You don't think that's pretty cool?
You ever been in an airplane before?
Yeah, but like
have you ever like looked different. Over like land on an airplane? It's not that different.
It is so different.
It's not that different.
Yes, it is. Oh my god, are you kidding? Being at the top of a tall building.
It's the only thing different is like, oh wow, I could fall off, or oh wow, what if a psycho threw me off? Like
it is
that's the
it
only
is
thing
so
really different.
Different. The view you get of the city.
I mean, it's nice to have a full 360. I understand
well, have
that.
You, have,
like,
okay, so have you been in a tall building? Like, did when you were up at the Empire State?
I went to the top of the Sun Sphere.
But when it's glass, you know, when you can just walk right up to the glass and look down?
I don't really like the feeling it gives me.
I know, but it's kind of exhilarating, isn't it?
Exhilarating?
Exhilarating, yeah.
I wouldn't say it's exhilarating. I said it makes me a little nervous. Slightly nervous. It gives me a little bit of a pit in my stomach.
That's different than flying. Flying, you're in a chair back.
I'm just talking
and you're
about strictly the view. Flying back from New England, you know, you come in, I'm looking, I'm like, oh, wow, there's the Smoky Mountains. Looks great up in an airplane.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I think it's different. I think the two things are different.
I mean, maybe it is. I feel like it's one of those things. It's cool. I was glad I got to see Central Park, the top of it. That was cool. That's all I can really give you is that it was kind of cool.
I've always been fascinated with big buildings, like skyscrapers.
You like heights?
I'm not particular big on heights, but just skyscrapers. Like,
I went skydiving before, bro. Once you go skydiving, being on the building doesn't really do anything for you. Sorry.
I don't want to.
I've jumped out of an airplane, bro. So, like, you can keep your little views. The view from 2,500 feet feels pretty cool. 80 stories is all right, but
it's once really...
you've been 2,500 feet in the air jumping out of an airplane or 5,000 feet, I don't know how high it was, you look at things a little differently, all right?
Do you?
Yeah.
It's really surprising to me that you ever went skydiving. I don't think you would do it now.
I probably wouldn't do it now simply because it was a little overrated. But
overrated?
I was happy I did it. It was cool. Like, it was a little overrated.
Really?
I don't know how other people feel that go skydiving. The getting in the airplane and going up was really, really cool. You start getting scared whenever it's your time to start, like, sliding to the door. That's really cool. The free fall, the initial free fall, when you jump out and you're rolling, that's the best part. But then, like, once you stretch out, like, 10 seconds into it, it's really just an inconvenience.
When you're rolling.
Yeah, like, you roll out of the plane. That's how you get out of the plane. You jump and you roll through the air. That's just, like, a straight free fall. That's like you're on a roller coaster and you're dipping.
I couldn't
dipping,
imagine,
like,
doing it when you're rolling.
That is the best part. And then once you stretch out, like I said, it's just an inconvenience at that point. You're choking in the air up there.
Sounds terrifying.
The air is holding you up. Like, you're just – it feels just like you're choking. You can't breathe. And then whenever you pull the parachute, you realize you are just strapped in front of another man, and you guys are just grinding on each other as you have an awkward 3-minute fall to the ground. And you're kind of like, okay, this hurts. The straps go right around the legs. Just, ugh.
Does it hurt when you hit the ground?
I feel like I landed okay. You just landed on your butt. Like, I didn't try to land on my feet because I didn't want to, like, sprain my ankle or anything. We just landed on our butt, I'm pretty sure.
Huh.
So it was fine. I'm glad I did it, but
it wasn't too scary.
Too scary?
I mean, it seems like it'd be really scary.
I mean, your adrenaline gets going. Like I said, when you go to, like, up to the air, when you start getting to the front, and, like, when the little plane's going up in the air, and you realize, oh, we're about to do this.
You have to go off with a guy grinding on you?
Yeah. Hmm. You have to fly, like, 100 hours or 100 times or something crazy like that to get to go by yourself.
So. Oh, yeah.
Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2 on deck is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's the best.